Our scripture reading tonight is from Mark 1, verses 32 through 35. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place to pray. This is the word of our Lord.
Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we ask that you would be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. God, one more time, we need you to fill up our words with your word, to bring your word alive in us tonight. God, that we might hear your voice, that we might see your glory, that we might be transformed by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Theologians spend a lot of time coming up with big fancy names and wrestling out very fine points of what it is that Orthodox Christians believe. And one of the things that is an important part of our theology as Christ followers is the dual nature of Jesus Christ. That somehow Jesus Christ was fully God and fully human at the same time. God the Son of God, the Son of Man. And somehow it's hard to kind of wrap our brains around that particular truth, that particular piece of theology. And then Paul tells us in the Philippians that there's even more than that. Not only is Jesus Christ always God, and always human, fully human. It wasn't like he got to walk above the human experience. He walked right in the midst of the messiness of it. And yet Paul tells us in the book of Philippians that even though he was in his very nature God, Jesus didn't consider equality with God something that he needed to hold on to, but instead he emptied himself and took on the form of a bondservant and became obedient to death, even to death on a cross. So somehow Jesus, while remaining fully God and being fully human, also sort of limited himself. And we'll leave that kind of for the theologians to wrestle out the fine points of that. But I think this passage, this very short couple of verses from the first chapter of Mark, demonstrates that point so well. Because here's Jesus starting out his ministry, and he's in a house which probably belonged to Simon and Andrew, because minutes before this time, he healed Simon's mother-in-law who was sick. And the people from the town are fascinated by who is this rabbi, who is this teacher, who is this man? And so they're kind of all in the house and around the house and looking in. And we see Jesus displaying his power. Jesus touching people and healing them and casting out demons and making broken people whole and giving new life where there was none. And that's who Jesus is. God the Son, Emmanuel, God with us, God fleshed out for us. And then we read this, very early in the morning while it was still dark, right around the time Paul Shelhart's showing up at Wawa, very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus went off to a solitary place to pray. And somehow, this man who was fully God and fully human desperately needed to be in communion with his Father. And so he went off first thing in the morning, before anything else was happening, before anybody else was moving, went off to be in his Father's presence alone and to pray. You know, this isn't the only instance that we see of this. Luke tells us that Jesus often went off to lonely places to pray. We're told that before Jesus chose who the 12 would be, he spent the entire night praying. When Jesus heard that his cousin John the Baptist had been beheaded, had been killed, he went off to be by himself with his father, and the crowds wouldn't leave him alone. And that's when he wound up feeding the 5,000 men and who knows how many women and children with a couple of loaves of bread and some fish. And yet after that event, after the leftovers had been gathered, Jesus sent his disciples right off, and he dismissed the crowd. And then, after this amazing display of his power, once again, he went up a hill and prayed. And it said when nighttime came, he was still there. A few verses before where Tom just read for you out of Mark 1, Jesus starts off his ministry by this, by going into the wilderness, in the desert for 40 days and nights to fast and to pray. And there he's tempted by Satan. And that's sort of like the inauguration of his ministry. And so I look at this and I see that Jesus, the Son of God, God the Son, came to earth to pay our price, to die on a cross, bringing with his shed blood the forgiveness for our sin. And Jesus Christ, fully human somehow, also teaches us how to be fully human, how to live a fully human life. Sometimes we're always trying to get rid of our humanity. You know, our flesh just weighs us down. And yet when we look at Jesus, God in the flesh, we see what it means to really be human. And we realize as well sometimes what a weak existence we're living compared to the fullness that Jesus offers us. The thing that strikes me as I read this passage is here's Jesus doing what he was brought here to do, fulfilling his calling, healing, touching, saving, loving. And yet he ran off in the morning to be with his father. And I think to myself, if Jesus desperately needed to start his day off with time alone in his father's presence, what the heck makes me think that I don't have to do that? I don't need to do that. That I'm perfectly fine just living my life, checking in with God every once in a while. Sometimes we make having what we sometimes call a quiet time like this burdensome requirement of being a Christian. We slug through the scriptures. We try to pray dry prayers. We just want to check it off our list that we've done it. And yet Jesus invites us to be aware of the fact that spending time in God's presence is something that we're robbing ourselves of if we're not doing it on a regular basis. I've shared with you multiple times over the past few years how for most of my Christian life, I've read the scriptures and I've prayed, but very sporadically. I've gone through times when I've read the scriptures faithfully, and I've gone through times when I've gone through weeks without cracking my Bible. The only scripture I was hearing was either in a praise worship song or when I went to church. Same thing with praying. A lot of times I pray on and off throughout the day, but very infrequently did I have a time that was set apart. You know, not just while I'm doing the dishes, not just while I'm whatever, but a set apart time to pray. And about 3 years ago, I felt like God really, really calling me to be more intentional about the time that I spent with him. And as God is wont to do when he starts putting a nudge on you, when he starts kind of pushing you to do something, he provided a vehicle for me to do that. And that was this morning online accountability group called Hello Mornings, which I sort of half-heartedly joined and now 2.5, probably years later, wind up being very involved in. But there's no hyperbole in the statement that it transformed my life to be intentional about spending time with God. Not as an afterthought, not when I had a spare minute, but to say, most days of my life, God, I want to start off my day with you. It's transformed me. It's given me a hunger for God deeper than I've ever had before. It's given me a love and a passion for God's word that I've had only little glimpses of in my very long number of years of being a follower of Jesus. It's given me a desire to pray in ways that I never have before. And I realize that for all those years, you know, I accepted Jesus when I was 18 years old. I am 51. You know, for all those years, I robbed myself of the opportunity to have this special time in God's presence. Not because I have to, not because I'm going to get stars on my good Christian chart, not because I have to check something off on my list, but because the realest moments of my life are the moments I spend in the presence of the God who loves me more than I could ever imagine. The God who longs for me to feed on him, to be strengthened in him, to have him press himself into my life, to build this relationship with him, to help me be available for what it is he might want to do in me and through me. And I missed it for years, and I have to believe, if I look at my own life and I know how passionately I have loved God all these years, how much I have loved to worship him, what an important part of my life he is, I know that if for all these years of my life feeling this way, I was not intentional about seeking God or starting off my day with him, I have to believe that there are other people in the body of Christ, other people here in this room who do the same thing. And we're robbing ourselves of this deeper, more powerful, more personal, more intimate relationship with the God of all creation. Sometimes we think of Lent as a time where we give up things. But really what Lent is a time to be intentional about getting more of God. And the reason sometimes we give up things in Lent is because we try to drop some of the stuff that screams for our attention. More than ever today, we live in a world that screams for our attention. There is constantly something on TV, on the radio, on the internet, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram that is yelling for us to pay attention. And sometimes before we're even aware of it, we've forgotten all about God. We're so busy listening to all these other voices that we forget to listen to the voice that knows us and loves us best. And so Lent is a perfect opportunity for us to drop some of that stuff, to silence some of the voices that are screaming for our attention and focus ourselves on the only one who really matters. And so what I would love to do as we are here in the second day of Lent gathered together, what I would love to do tonight is to issue a challenge to you. If you already have a well-established routine of spending time in God's presence and it's life to you, I would love to hear about that when we open up the congregational time. If you don't, or if you occasionally open up a little devotional and read, I want to encourage you to take these 40 days of Lent and be intentional about seeking God. If possible, to start off your day. If you can't start off your day, if that's just too crazy, then to find some time during your day when you turn off everything else in your world and you focus your attention solely on God. You know, in the beginning, that might just look like you wake up in the morning, you open your eyes, and you say, okay, God, be in this day. You know, and you go online to Bible Gateway and you read the verse of the day, you know, and you pray a prayer saying, God, take this day and make it yours. That's maybe how you have to start out, and that's fine. There's no right or wrong way to do this thing. It's your relationship with God. And sometimes as Christians, we're really excited about hearing about other people's experiences with God, you know? And we want to read other people's books so we can find their little tricks to how they get along with God. But the reality of it is God invites each one of us to have that kind of relationship with him. God says, you want to know what a relationship with me looks like? Have one. Ask me. Spend time with me. And we'll develop our own rhythm, our own relationship. If you're not regularly starting out your day by praying, by reading some scripture, by just sitting in God's presence, by inviting him into your day, I want to encourage you, again, to be serious about that. A really easy way, if you want, to start reading the scriptures right now through Lent is to start at the book of Matthew and read 2 chapters a day. You might have to read 3 for a couple days to catch up because we are in the second day of Lent. But read 2 chapters of the Gospel of Matthew. It will take you into Mark, it will take you into Luke, and it will take you into John. And you will be able to finish reading all 4 Gospels, immersing yourself in the life of Jesus Christ before Lent's over. Really simple way to start. If you think 2 chapters and you're thinking some of those really long chapters in John's Gospel is too much, then start doing something like start on Psalm 1 and read 1 psalm every day. Just read 1 psalm. But do something to get yourself in God's Word. Okay, you know the rule here, Thursday night church face is totally off, right? If you struggle to read scripture, if you think most times reading the Bible is really boring, if you struggle with praying, you don't know what to pray, and a minute or two is way more than enough for you, then that is absolutely okay. And I'm going to encourage you to be persistent, even if it's hard, even if it feels like it's boring, because there's something about persistence. There's something about doing it again and again and again, that somehow God opens our eyes and we find them. But I also want you to approach reading the scriptures and praying, listening to praise worship music or hymns or whatever it is that moves your spirit. I want you to look at that not as some exercise you have to do, but as time you spend with God. So invite him in. Sit down on your couch, in your favorite chair, at your kitchen table, wherever it is that you can find a spot, your desk at work, wherever it is, in your car, where you can find a spot to be just you and God and invite him in. Say, all right, Lord, this is our time. Show up. Be here. Remind me of your presence. You know, when you open the scriptures to read, first of all, if you don't read the Bible all the time, do not start in Genesis and try to read straight on through. I'm telling you, you're going to hit Leviticus and Numbers bogged down. Start at the Gospel of John. Start in the Psalms. Start in some of the letters, the epistles in the New Testament. You know, don't give yourself this big arduous task. Read something that's going to give you life. But as you open the scriptures, ask God to speak. That's what we believe the scriptures are, the word of God. We believe that God continually, somehow, by his spirit, speaks through his words, even though they were written thousands of years ago. He speaks through his word. You know, when God was calling Samuel, when he was a young boy, before he even knew who God was, and Samuel thought it was Eli, the priest, calling him, and he ran to Eli and said, what do you want, what do you want? And Eli finally figures out that it's God calling Samuel. He says this to Samuel. He says, say this when you hear God call you again. Say, speak, Lord, because your servant is listening. You know, and that's a beautiful prayer when we open the scriptures to say, God, speak here. I'm listening. Your child, your beloved son, your beloved daughter is listening, desperate for you to speak your truth into my life. And then read. And it doesn't have to be a whole ton you read. Just read something and look for God to speak to you in it. You know, every day you're probably not going to walk away with these amazing revelations of God's truth. But I will tell you this, every day, Every day you stop the world from spinning and you spend time in God's presence, you will be so glad you did. You know, and sometimes we say, I feel really dry. I feel like I'm not hearing God, right? I'm looking for God to direct me, to show me his will, to speak to me, right? We say those things. I say those things. And then all of a sudden it hits us. You know what? I'm not giving God any opportunity to speak his truth into my life. Why aren't I hearing God? Because I'm not listening. At least that's the truth for me. Your reality may be different. It's a short period of time, Lent. It's a period of introspection. It's a period of seeking God. It's a time of drawing close so that we're ready to bow our knee at the cross on Good Friday. That we're ready to go to the empty tomb with the disciples and celebrate with abandon on Easter Sunday. It's a time for us to wind up closer than we were, deeper in love with this God who loves us. If you're struggling reading the scriptures and you would like a more contemporary version, I have New Living Translations and the Message, the paraphrase on that first row after the break. Take one, please. But let's do this thing. Let's be serious. Let's be intentional. Let's seek God as individuals, but as a community of faith. And let's see just what he might want to do in our individual lives, in our family, in our church family here. Because God's promise is this: when we seek him, we find him. When we ask, he gives. When we knock, the door is open. Let's not be satisfied with little crumbs. Let's not be satisfied with just checking in on Sundays and Thursdays. Let's be God's people, starving, desperate for time in his presence. The only thing that gives us life. Jesus knew it. As a human being, Jesus knew it. And he invites us to experience it as well in our own lives. Will you pray for me? Lord God, we're just reminded all the time that you offer us this bounty of knowing you. You invite us to feast at your banquet table, God, to have our fill. You long to satisfy our souls. You long to give us a life that's abundant, life to the very full. Lord, we're tired of settling for second best. We're tired of settling for going through the motions. We're tired of eating dry crumbs when you're offering filet mignon. So God, help us to be intentional about spending time with you, not checking things off our list, but spending time with you. We ask that you would honor, God, this desire we have, that you would give us the endurance to get up early, maybe, to shut off the TV, to put our cell phone away, God, just to spend some time with you. We're asking that you would open up our eyes, that we would see you, that you would open up our ears, that we would hear you speak, God, through your word and in the quiet. But Lord, that we would be pressed deeper and deeper into you, that we would want you more and more, that we would see more and more of you, God. Help us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.